We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo-woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand, that guy over there, the incomparable Dan Rubenstein. We, again, are the Solid Verbal, going out to solidverbal.com. Check out what we got cooking on the website if you want to view any of our old episodes or any of the great articles that we post on a recurring basis throughout the course of a college football week. You also can go on out to verballers.com. That's where we cook up all these special Patreon perks that they don't tell you about, Dan. Out there in the college football ether, verballers.com. You get access to the Discord. You get access to all of these shows.
Yeah.
A little bit early, you get access to just a bunch of perks. We would advise everyone to go on out there and check it out, verballers.com. Also, follow along on social, and please do subscribe if you haven't already to our YouTube channel. It is youtube.com/TheSolidVerbal.
Correct. Yeah.
Did I miss anything?
Big Boy Bets. Big Boy Bets. Listen to Big Boy Bets. We go deeper into the gambling, wagering, betting side of things, and that by we I mean myself and Jeff Schwartz. No, Ty, I just, cautionary tale, be careful making wishes in the dark. You know what I'm talking about. Be careful, because you can't be sure when they've hit their mark. Besides, Ty, in the meantime, I'm dreaming of tearing your picks apart like I did last week. I'm in the details.
We're doing Fallout Boy here. Are we doing Fallout Boy?
We're doing Fallout Boy.
You kind of added some stuff there, but I think we're doing Fallout Boy.
My picks know what you did in the dark. I don't know why I added like Macho Man in there. The solid toddler loves Fallout Boy, so it's nonstop around here. Yeah.
Okay.
I told you this. I also have a nickname for the week, Ty, by the way, because we have some news to get into before we get into our week three preview and sort of in the shadow of a really crazy week two. How do you feel about Suddenly Real Saturday?
Suddenly Real. We did a Suddenly Susan Saturday a couple of years ago.
I love the word suddenly, just because there are a number of teams playing in the bigger games that, I mean, you look at Auburn, you look at Oklahoma State, you look at Oklahoma, I guess, for that matter, where, and I know Nebraska isn't the realest of teams, but in terms of the matchups, some teams have not faced full on decent teams yet.
See, so I was
Florida,
looking through as
Florida.
Well.
Florida. Florida's taking on FAU and USF. Now they get Bama.
I was looking through as well, and I think I kind of have a spin on that concept. Are you familiar with the brand Spanx?
I am. Yes.
I was thinking it's kind of like a Spanx Saturday, because really, just keep it together, guys. Hold it together. We don't need anything popping out.
I don't know how this applies, but I'm in love with. I want more syllables though, because there's always the like send it in Saturday, right? There's like the, there's I don't know Spank Saturday. It's
suddenly Spank Saturday. I don't know, but just I think the premise being
secure your Spank Saturday,
secure your stuff Saturday. I don't whatever. Yeah. Just something along those lines. Because listen, here's where we're at.
Listen.
Not every team is playing in big games. Some teams are playing in bigger games than they have in the previous 2 weeks. But okay. I think the theory holds that before long, we're going to be getting into like conference schedules here. And then it is okay. going to get real. It's really going to get real. So just hold it together this week, whether you're Oklahoma or Oklahoma State or Auburn or Penn. Like, hold it together, guys. I don't care who you're playing. Get through week three into week four and into your conferences.
So just, you're just saying fit into the non-conference dress is
that's
what
right.
you're
that's
saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
It doesn't have to be. I mean, I think the Met Ball was last night. Is that a thing?
The Met Gala. Yeah.
The Met Gala. Excuse me. So sorry. Excuse me.
It's okay.
yeah. So it's basically getting through your non-conference schedule without something unexpected spilling out. So
that's correct.
It could mean just not getting blown out, right? It's Emory Jones not throwing interceptions in a Florida blowout loss. It could be Auburn not falling victim to the energy and excitement and volume of Beaver Stadium against Penn State. If you lose, lose respectably, keep everything in, right?
To be fair, I'm with you. Kind yeah. of every Saturday is a Spank Saturday for both.
That's true.
They're later.
Yeah, I think this is, yeah, there's some danger of flat tire spillage across the nation, so... I secure your Spank Saturday. I'm right there with you.
Whatever you go with, you know what the premise is here. You know where we're headed in week three. Before we get there, though, we should talk a little bit about, you know, some of what's been going on around college football.
Let's.
We do have breaking news.
Boop, boop, mirror 14 hours ago. Boop, 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 boop. 18 hours ago. Boop, boop.
We posted a video about this on the Solid Verbal YouTube channel. Last evening, Clay Helton has been fired as head football coach at USC. I suppose this should not come as any great surprise to those of you out there who follow college football. Certainly not to any of her ballers. I'm a little disappointed that he will not be coaching in perpetuity at USC as the joke has gone here.
Yeah.
But that being said, the writing was on the wall. Mike Bone, the athletic director who came over from Cincinnati, there have been articles as far back as January. That Clay Helton was not going to be in the long-term plans for his vision of what USC athletics, at least on the football side, was going to look like. He makes the move after week two. I think that bit of it is very surprising. Mm-hmm. Of course, now the narrative has shifted to who might some potential replacements be. We don't have to get into that too much on this show since we do have many games to preview. But at quick blush, Dan, what's your reaction to this news? Surprising, not surprising? Where do they go from here?
A little bit during the season, but I understand that the way that they fell down to Stanford, it was something like 42-13 to a team that had just embarrassed itself against Kansas State, that even when they're winning, they look uneven. And at a certain point, you're just like, okay, we want to jump on vetting candidates and back channeling and feeling out interest. Now, obviously, there's a lot of football yet to be played for a lot of the top supposed candidates of this job and even the not supposedly top candidates for this job. And so that's going to change perspectives on both ends. But I'm fascinated once again because USC is one of the more interesting jobs. It's a high upside job, but it's a definitively right guy upside job. And there's been one of them in 40 years in Pete Carroll. Who they lucked into. USC is unquestionably an excellent job with excellent perks, excellent advantages, but I think the disadvantages are not as properly mentioned it's more difficult. Now, the one thing, and we go watch the video for a more extended thought of this. We'll talk about this more on the Bruin A if you're a patron. We'll talk about it more on WSV on Friday. But the one thing that is going to be fascinating with this particular group of candidates is convincing a wife and children to move to Los Angeles, because the name that is immediately in this discussion is Luke Fickell because of his connection to Mike Bone, the current USC athletic director, and came from Cincinnati. I think he has six kids and is a Midwest guy who has turned down big Midwest jobs. And I don't think it's necessarily to come to the West Coast and uproot his family. And I think those types of factors become more and more interesting with the USC job and the very specific life that comes with moving to LA. It's very different than most college towns. So that to me is going to be the interesting thing. I saw Tony Elliott, Clemson offensive coordinator, from the West Coast, and that's an interesting name given the success at Clemson. But I think it's fascinating. I think, once again, the market will determine how good of a job USC truly, truly is.
Luke Fickell is reportedly the lead candidate, if only because of his relationship with Mike Boehm, the athletic director, reportedly his job to turn down. There are some other names that have been bandied about. Chris Peterson, James Franklin.
Said Peterson is not.
Peterson's not in it. I mean, yeah. Just we're in that very early stage of this now, being only week two, as you said.
Mario Cristobal. Yeah,
many months to go of speculation where my guess is if you're one of the premier coaches in college football, I saw Urban Meyer is making his rounds on the message boards. Like,
of course,
we're in the early stages of this thing where pretty much every name is going to be thrown against the wall just to see what kind of reaction you get. So much more to come, but Fickell is the lead candidate. And more importantly, Helton is out. We will talk about USC on the road this week in Pullman against Washington State.
I can't believe that we've been having a USC, basically an ongoing low-grade USC coaching conversation for a decade.
We have. It's amazing.
A decade. I mean, he was there 6-7 years, but just in terms of the upheaval of Lane and Sark and Pete Carroll and Ed Orgeron, and like, just there has been this just like hum underneath the surface of like, well, who's the next guy? I mean,
it's like in the Hunger Games where you hear the thud and then they show the picture of the fallen.
Yeah.
It's we're at that stage with USC coaching, but
yeah, sort of a cicada situation. It was my first summer with cicadas. They're always always bubbling under the surface. All right, what's next?
Haynes King has a crack in his lower leg. He exited the Colorado game this past weekend. He underwent a procedure. He's expected to be out 4 to 7 weeks. So that will obviously cut into the SEC schedule. A&M's got some big games coming up. We know that already. Yeah. How Zach Calzada is able to manage that workload remains to be seen. A bit questionable in his relief appearance at Colorado, but you would expect that hopefully to improve given the fact that he'll have a little bit more practice time and more reps with the ones here. But a news story to keep your eyes on is, again, that quarterback change due to injury at A&M.
Yeah, especially in an SEC West that outside of Alabama, right? We have sort of downgraded LSU a bit, given what they've looked like at times this year. Ole Miss, we'll see if the defense holds. Mississippi State looks sloppy in week one, and I think they only scored 17 offensive points against NC State. So A&M was, and hopefully is still in some way, in decent position to still make noise just because of their own defense and some of those offensive playmakers. But yeah, it's A&M goes from looking like potentially, if Haynes King fully grew into the role, top 7, 8, 9 team in the country. Now it's more like 16, 17 to me.
And there is another quarterback change in the state of Texas that we need to report before getting into our week 3 previews. Hudson Card is going to the bench. Steve Sarkisian has decided to go with Casey Thompson for Texas's game this coming weekend against Rice. Quote, "I thought Hudson was all antsy in the pocket," Sarkisian said. Yeah. He also went on to elaborate on how it would only be fair to give Casey Thompson a crack at starting against Rice. Again, that game's in Austin. Rice isn't a very good team, but we'll see what happens. Steve Sarkisian went on to say things about giving Hudson Card a chance to like take a deep breath or process or, you know, whatever. Casey Thompson's come in a few times. He's looked pretty good. So we'll see if this is more of a long-term thing or if we're going to be doing the quarterback carousel all year long in Austin.
Not the best reflection on Sarkisian and this staff that Hudson Card got the job, definitively said this is his job, has a bad game, legitimately had a bad game against what we believe to be at least a pretty decent defense and obviously an excellent defensive coordinator. And that's that. So first, that tells me that the competition, I guess, was razor's edge between Hudson Card and Casey Thompson, because if it were, Hudson Card gives us the best chance long term to win 10 plus games a season for as long as he's here, then you weather this. Then you weather it and you don't want to sort of yank and mess with confidence. So obviously, Casey Thompson was promising at the end of last year in that bowl game, made a big difference against Colorado. And Maybe he is just the more sturdy option at this point. Maybe he's not the high ceiling option, but yeah, this now becomes a weird room to navigate for the Texas offensive coaching staff.
You don't want too much yanking. You don't want too much pulling. You don't want anything popping out on secure your stuff with Spank Saturday, Dan.
Dan, time, help. I need picks of the week.
We got games to talk about, man. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 headliners that we're going to talk through, a bunch of other quick hits that I think are of note. Before we get into that, though, we have to do this. It's a service now. People look forward to our window of opportunity again. Many different takes on this. Is it your window of opportunity to watch the best college football? Should it be the window of opportunity to go out and just live in the world and do normal person things? I opt for the latter.
Mm-hmm.
I say it's early this week. I say if you have to, okay, if you have your druthers about it, I'm willing to part with the Cincinnati-Indiana game. I'm willing to part with Michigan State at Miami, although for me, that's maybe the most interesting game of the weekend outside of Penn State-Auburn. There are some other games in that early window that don't quite move the needle for me. So I say if you got to go out, if you got to do chores, if you, you know, want to see cats,
Soccer games.
Yeah, it's going to work great for people on the East Coast. Get that out of the way early so that you can hunker down late.
It's secure the apps Saturday. Make sure you've got your Fox app. Make sure you've got your ESPN app, whatever you use to watch on your phone. You know, if you have to drive a kid to a soccer game or you're waiting for somebody to go shopping at Home Depot, I don't know, whatever it is that you're doing. If you're standing in a long line at the bank, secure the app Saturday. Yeah, I think that's right. All due respect to Cincinnati, Indiana, and Michigan State, Miami, and Virginia Tech, West Virginia, whatever else is intriguing. But yeah, the afternoon and night slate, I think, is certainly more interesting.
A waiver pickup on the fantasy things front would most certainly be Luke Fickell speculation going into this 12 p.m. game on ESPN this week. It is Cincinnati -3.5 on the road at Indiana. They are going, I don't know who the commentators are for this game. You better damn well believe they are leading with that storyline. They are drooling at the prospect of a storyline, a coaching change. Cincinnati is 2-0, currently 8th in the polls. It's a big deal for them. They're set up really well to make another run through the American, maybe into the playoff. Dan, who knows? Well, I'm sure we'll hear about it. Find out a lot about these guys this week against Indiana on the road, next week, or I guess in 2 weeks, on the road at Notre Dame.
Would you like to know, by the way, the Cincinnati-Indiana announcer pairing? Who's drooling, according to you?
Who is it?
Dave Pasch.
Oh, yeah.
Dusty Dvorak.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Luginbill.
I think Pasch had something to say about letting Clay Helton go, didn't he? He was a little bit up in arms about that.
Was he? Oh, I missed that.
He tweeted out, he said something like, he's a good guy and a good guy deserved better. They should have done it before the year, which I don't necessarily disagree with. So he might be a little sauced up for this.
Oh, that's a weird adjective. He's not going to be drinking for this, but yeah, he will be energetic, we presume. I can tell you the announcing pairs for any of these games if you're interested.
All right. Well, as we go through, we can
continue.
We can do that. Indiana 1-1, they got smoked by Iowa first week of the year. They won easily against Idaho last week. I want to start with a series of questions, Dan.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. And I want to have them answered immediately.
Immediately.
Do you think Indiana can win this game? Yes or no?
They can, yeah, but my confidence isn't high. Okay. Do you want me to expand on that? Or
I just want yes or no. Do you think Indiana can win? Yes, no.
Yes, they're a home team with some very intriguing pieces.
Does this line feel low to you?
No. Feels appropriate.
Do we think the Indiana defense is good enough to hold Cincinnati under, let's say, 31 points?
Yes.
Do we think the Indiana offense is good enough to score 24 points against this defense?
No.
So there's your conundrum, right?
Yeah.
What you're spelling out to me is that Indiana needs to play a great bit of defense against a good offense in Cincinnati, a veteran team led by a good quarterback, your boy Jerome Ford out there. They got to win this game, what, 24-21? If they want to have a shot at home?
What is the path to you? What needs to happen in order for Indiana to score? Because I'm just not confident. I think something's off with Michael Penix. I mean, he's coming off of an injury, and he has just not been able to complete passes downfield. Wasn't able to against Idaho. And Jack Tuttle's been the guy coming in. Now, obviously, that was a blowout game, and Indiana really overwhelmed the Vandals, right? The Idaho Vandals.
Vandals, yeah.
Yeah, they're able to overwhelm them. So it wasn't needed. It's not like they were trading haymakers. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about Indiana's offense and their ability to generate bigger plays, especially since after that Ohio State game, which is sort of, it's always going to be at the front of mind when discussing Indiana's upside, but they haven't played great football since that game. And obviously they dealt with his injury, but against Wisconsin, against Maryland, it's like offensively, it's been a rough go for the Hoosiers. So I'm not really high on them right now. Now, I'm a big believer in Tom Allen and getting this team ready for big games, less so after that Iowa game, but I'm willing to forgive it because it's week one. But they didn't get into the end zone in that game.
See, here's the qualifier with Indiana. And I think I'm with you. And this is why I'm going to pick Cincinnati, by the way, minus the 3.5.
Yeah, as am I. Continue.
The qualifier with Indiana is that it's a damn good story. And everybody likes Tom Allen. The game last year in knocking off Penn State, it hurt me on a personal level, but nationally, that was a good story. It was a great thing for Indiana. Mm-hmm. The season on the whole was a great season for Indiana. It felt like they took a step forward, even after Michael Penix got hurt. Definitely felt like there was some momentum. If you do look at the underlying numbers, though, they tell a different story about that Indiana run. And the story is basically that it was a little bit of smoke and mirrors, that it was a team led by defense. Sure. The offense wasn't particularly efficient. They were better. They're going in a good direction. We like Michael Penix. We want him to be healthy. But don't confuse yourself into thinking that this is now some like rising juggernaut. It's just the numbers don't really add up on that front.
Right.
I agree with you. Michael Penix looked bad. Yeah, maybe last week I'll throw the Idaho game out, but I'm going back to week one against Iowa. He had three picks. He did seem a bit off. He's coming back from injury, so maybe it's not unexpected, but I'm on Cincinnati here, man. I think they have too much veteran presence. They have too much firepower on offense, and their defense is really good.
Right.
Really good. And so I think that holds Indiana down. I'm just not sure what Indiana is going to do on offense here. I got Cincinnati by a score of like 31-17. I think they win rather easily on the road.
Yeah, I have 24-13 close first quarter, and then it's just a little too much in the Indiana offense getting off the field far too quickly. And yeah, I think Jerome Ford's going to have a nice game for the Bearcats. I think it's MyJ Sanders. I believe he's healthy coming off the edge for Cincinnati. Desmond Ridder actually has performed quite well against teams with winning records on the level of, you know, looking at last year, just relative to schedule, of course. But Ian Book, Sam Howell, Justin Fields, that's where Desmond Ridder was last year. And we imagine he's even more seasoned this year against a decent enough team. I guess it's a possible look ahead-ish spot for Cincinnati. They have a bye week in Notre Dame coming up, but
I think they'll be focused.
I don't think it's look ahead against a Big Ten team on the road. Yeah.
No, I think Indiana, and this is a credit to Luke Fickell, Indiana is not a look ahead spot if you're Cincinnati. Right. I think he's got them programmed now to believe that they're a top 10 team, that this is a game that they need to go on the road and win. And they're not looking ahead to anything. They're taking it one week at a time. That's why they've had the level of success that they have had under Fickell. So I think Cincinnati wins over Indiana, and I think they do it rather easily.
Should mention Bubs Burgers and Ice Cream in Bloomington, Ty. We're talking home dog here. That appears to be the move.
Bubs.
Or Naughty Dog. Naughty Dog, I like saying out loud, but Bubs. Continue.
12 p.m. Eastern time on ABC. High noon. This one is interesting. Who's calling this game between Michigan State and Miami?
Michigan State and Miami, it looks like it is Joe Tess, Greg McElroy, and Katie George on the call.
Okay. You got the McElroy game here.
No doubt about it.
Miami minus 6.5 at home. They are 1-1. They got bombed in week one by Alabama. We won't talk about that again. And then they white knuckled their way through the game last week against App State. 25-23 was your final. Michigan State 2-0. They looked, I thought, really impressive against both Northwestern and Youngstown State, for whatever that's worth. I am fascinated by this game, Dan.
Tell me why.
On 1,000 different levels. I went back, I rewatched both teams' games. So the first thing I was trying to suss out is, was what we saw from Michigan State at all a fluke so far through 2 weeks? I think through two games, the rushing attack has been prolific, and it feels like they're in sync. It doesn't feel like there's any like fluke quality to this.
Right.
In addition, Peyton Thorne, I think, looks solid. I think he looks solid. I think he looks confident. And, you know, they run a similar enough offense to what App State did that I think the game here against Miami is going to be similar enough to what we saw a week ago when App State went to Miami.
Right.
Miami won that game because they had a couple better athletes. They made a few plays. They got the safety on the botched punt. I think that talent gap is narrowed in this game with Michigan State. I feel good about Michigan State's chances here because App State, if you went back and watched the game at all, they were able to run it up the gut a lot, got some big gainers. I think they can do a lot of the same stuff here. I barely know Peyton Thorne, granted, but I already feel like I can trust him more than Chase Bryce, who neither of us is all that high on.
I know, but he was fine against
Miami.
He was fine,
to his credit.
Yeah.
And it comes back to me to a more intangible question of who has more to prove here. If you are Michigan State, if you are Mel Tucker, you had this horrible season a year ago where it was fine. They went, 2-5? They beat Michigan. I forget what the exact numbers were, but
right.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great for them. It wasn't great for everybody, but they had a long off season now to get themselves together. And through two games anyway, it seems as if they have. Going down to Miami gives them an opportunity. That's a milestone to take it to the Miami Hurricanes on the road to prove something. Meanwhile, Miami, man, they're kind of sucking wind here. They got drilled by Alabama. They had a close one against App State. They are more battle tested at this point.
Totally.
But I can't help fight the feeling that Michigan State's got more to prove. They're playing better as a team. I got Michigan State outright. I got them 34-30. I think it's higher scoring. I think this is a fun game, but I think Michigan State's able to run it on the Canes, and I think they win it outright.
All right, so I went back and forth with this. I am not going to let early Michigan State, I'm throwing out Youngstown State, week one against Northwestern, they run all over the Cats. It's crazy impressive. I think Michigan State has a pretty decent combination of running the ball and playing defense. I think they should be pretty decent in those regards. I'm going to need to see evidence of Peyton Thorne throwing into a good defense. They won that Northwestern. He made plays against Northwestern for sure. I think this on the road against Miami, I think it's a different animal. A couple games in. Now, I think he's improved. I think Michigan State's offense is improved. But in a game I go back and forth with, I think I'm just going to side with the quarterback. So I'm going to take the points here. I'm absolutely going to take the points. There's a little bit too much slop with Miami. And look, we might come to find out App State has a really good team this year. And it was definitely a letdown look ahead sandwich last week coming off of Bama ahead of Michigan State, arguably playing against a Sun Belt team. App State's a damn good team. Normally, we'll see this year. I like their skill talent a lot. I'm going to take the points. I don't trust them to win this game outright. I'm not there. I think okay. Michigan State should have a nice bounce back year. It looks like that they are a bowl caliber team, which is a nice step forward for sure. I mean, they were who did they get shut out against last year? Indiana, I believe. Look, they were not a bowl team last year.
Right.
So I'm going to go Michigan State here to keep it relatively close. I think once again, the talent's going to win out with Miami. But my concern is certainly much more with the Canes about big picture stuff moving forward.
It is very much a Spanx Saturday for the Canes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because
it is.
On the surface, with the talent they have, they should be able to win this game. They should be able to just hold it together. No popping out, no nothing. Just be solid.
Oh, man, Dear King was not especially good. He had a couple big passes to who was the? He's actually, I actually really liked him, Keyshawn Smith. I liked him a lot. So there's guys emerging for Miami, but I'd like to see some more consistency in terms of like the at least pseudo explosive plays from this offense.
So we agree. Taking the points.
I'm taking the points.
330 CBS, Alabama minus 15.5 points. Ooh. On the road at the Florida Gators. Needless to say at this point, but Bama first in the polls, 2-0. They killed Miami. They killed Mercer. Florida is up to 11th now, and they are 2-0 after beating Florida Atlantic and South Florida. So, you know, just to be clear on where I stand, I think the probability of an upset here is very low. Alabama is going to win this football game. But this is a big number at home, Dan.
It is.
It's a big number in the swamp.
And in arguably the loudest place to play a college football game. Yeah.
Big number in the swamp. It's a true road spot for Alabama and Bryce Young. Remind me again why, and I know it's splitting hairs, why you are a little bit concerned about Alabama. We talked about it on the last show.
Yeah, I think Bryce Young is 20% more skittish in the pocket and uncomfortable in the pocket than I'd like, especially throwing into, I think Mercer was throwing a lot of zone stuff at him. I am a little bit concerned that Alabama, while they have absolute dudes out wide, the experience that they could lean on, especially in the red zone with guys like, you know, Henry Ruggs and Devontae Smith and Najee Harris out of the backfield, like the comfort blanket situation at Alabama, but with the combination of the new skill guys that we're just trying to see who emerges consistently and Bryce Young being a new starter and there being a new coordinator, that concerns me a little bit. The offensive line, I'm not worried about, even though they had some down moments against Mercer, whatever. They're hurt on the edge. Obviously, Chris Allen out for, I think, a long time. And then Will Anderson got beat up last week against Mercer. I don't know what his status is. I'm concerned about Emory Jones and his decision making. I'm concerned about what Florida's defense is able to do in terms of miscues against some bigger teams. But Dan Mullen, with his track record, recent track record against Nick Saban in Alabama and in big games, and with the tantalizing possibility of what Anthony Richardson offers, depending on how much he's played against Alabama.
I think you said it best last week. There's a little bit of the clouds parting there for Anthony Richardson, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, Dan Mullen talked about that. I mean, look, if Anthony Richardson is clearly a better playmaker, both with his feet and with his arm, than Emory Jones, there's a reason why he's not starting. And I imagine that reason is he does not have the command of the offense in the same way, that the playbook is not as open with Anthony Richardson as it is with Emory Jones, for better or for worse. And that would be the concern, that if you're playing Anthony Richardson against Alabama, you're confident in calling plays within a certain personnel group or certain just like one or two personnel groupings or just 12 plays in general, right? Like that there's that you're not as able to throw everything you could at Alabama with Anthony Richardson if they're able to spy him and keep him sort of well within within reach. So that's the concern, I would imagine, with Anthony Richardson, that he's just not there yet in terms of command. But I don't think Emory Jones is beating Alabama.
No.
So I think they throw enough wrinkles at Bama to keep this closer than 15.5. So I'm going to take those points, but man, I'm not in my confidence jacuzzi with that pick.
Yeah, I think the chances of a Florida cover are significantly better if Richardson is in there and healthy. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, he had a long touchdown run last week and he kind of pulled up lame with a hammy. I haven't seen any updates on his health going into this game. It doesn't necessarily mean he needs to start, but I think having him at the ready definitely gives Dan Mullen another weapon. He's a big kid. He's 6'4". He's 250. You can already see in the limited ways that they've used him a little bit of the Tebow treatment. You know, fake it up the middle, maybe a jump pass possibility. Hasn't turned the ball over, so maybe a little bit more trustworthy with the football. Who knows if there are limitations on the playbook side of things. But you can definitely see a situation in which he comes in there and he gives Bama trouble the way other mobile quarterbacks in the past have given Alabama trouble. I don't think they're beating Alabama. Case in point, okay? But 15 and a half is a big number at home. I think the better bet's on the over. The last I saw the over was 58. I think there are going to be points in this game. So like 41-27 maybe. I could see Alabama winning this game, but I like Florida at home plus the points. 15 and a half is a big number in the swamp. So again, three in a row, we agree.
So what, this is something I have trouble with. What right now is the case for Alabama being unquestionably bulletproof?
What's the case?
Yeah, like I think their offensive line's great. I think their linebacking core is great. I really like their secondary, but there is this element to Alabama where they had the continuity in personnel. You know, Mac Jones was there forever. Sark was there, you know, in relative terms forever. Like, they earned that last year. I'm curious as to why we are just, and I'm including myself in this, why we're just so confident. Like, yeah, Alabama can go to the swamp and win this game. Yeah, of course.
Well, look, and the cautionary tale, Dan, cautionary tale is that we gave Clemson the benefit of the doubt in week one.
Sure.
They lost.
Yep.
And we gave them benefit of the doubt with a new starting quarterback, if only because of what they had done in the past.
Right.
That's a fair perspective, but they lost to Georgia. Yeah. Close game.
Didn't score a touchdown.
Didn't score a touchdown, to yeah. be clear. Same deal with Ohio State last week against Oregon, right?
Yep.
You give them the benefit of the doubt because of who they are. I think Alabama has proven over a longer period of time that under Nick Saban, they can withstand much more turnover, whether it's at the starting quarterback spot, whether it's on
sure.
the coaching staff, incredible turnover to the NFL year in and year out. Nick Saban has withstood that. So maybe he gets a little bit more credence when it comes to that very argument.
Totally.
But I think it's totally fair. I don't know. Look, Miami might not be that good. They might not be that good.
Right.
We will find out more for sure this weekend about Bryce Young, about Alabama, as they go to the swamp.
Right now, we are specifically looking at Alabama's win over Miami when talking about the 2021 squad specifically to say they're the clear class of the sport.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? No, I just...
That's true.
It's fascinating to me. And it might prove to be the correct thing because the track record indicates that if you're going to wager any amount of money on who's going to win the national championship any given year, Alabama's as good an option as any. But man, this is a tough spot. I don't love Florida's defense. I like Alabama's defense a lot more. I really do like Florida's skill talent, but man, there's just like an assumption that's wild. And so I'm not fully there. I'm a little bit nervous for Alabama, frankly.
7:30 ABC, Auburn at Penn State.
Yeah.
This is a fun non-conference matchup. Penn State's favored by 6. Originally, I think they were favored by 7.5.
Wow.
That line came down. People were hammering Auburn. And look, Auburn, for their part, has looked really good. They've outscored their opponents 122-10. It is at least worth mentioning that their opponents have been Akron and Alabama State.
Yeah.
That should not invalidate the results. But you could argue that's the easiest two games that any team in FBS has played to start their season in 21. But Auburn did what it was supposed to do. Kudos to them.
Correct.
Kudos to Brian Harsin. Penn State also 2-0. They've taken a much different path, different road. Week one, knocked off Wisconsin and Camp Randall. Week two, back home, disposed rather easily of the defending MAC champion Ball State Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know much about either of these teams, Dan, but context clues through 2 weeks, they help.
We know more about Penn State. I mean, to beat Wisconsin and Camp Randall is significant.
The line opened again at 7.5. As I said, some of the pro bettors jumped on Auburn. It's now down to 6.
Yep.
I went back and forth on this one a bunch of times, and I can explain why, but it feels almost impossible to judge because we just don't have enough context on Auburn. We do know more about Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
The most obvious example here is Bo Nix. So mm-hmm. Bo Nix, who we've had an interesting relationship with on this show. I think I've been more pro Nix than you have.
Correct.
Throughout his 2 years as playing quarterback at Auburn. But Bo Nix has completed 75% of his passes, just about 75%, 74.4% of his passes, and has thrown 5 touchdowns to 0 interceptions so far. He's looked good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the Bo Nix we've come to know over the last 2 years, is it?
No, not necessarily.
The Bo Nix that we know is one that has thrown 13 career interceptions with 12 of them coming on the road or at a neutral site.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Brian Harsin knows Bo. Maybe Bo knows Bo now. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But again, history needs to be something of a guide here for some of these early season matchups where we just don't have the context. So how much can you trust Bo Nix? I don't know. How much can you trust what we've seen from Auburn on the ground? 340 rushing yards per game is damn impressive.
Yeah.
And I think it's really wise of Brian Harsin to take some of the pressure off Bo Nix to lean on a really talented backfield. I like what he's doing. It's just, I mean,
Tank is amazing. Tank might be the best running back in the SEC. Yeah.
I love Tank Bigsby.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how much of that is repeatable against a much, much different defense in the form of Penn State on the road at night, whiteout game.
Sure.
You know the drill. Where do you stand on Auburn here?
I'm intrigued by Auburn. I'm intrigued by the system that they're running, which is certainly different than what Gus was doing on offense. I have a hard time believing all is fixed offensively, especially with what they lost at receiver. And I know they returned a lot along the offensive line, but it was a struggle, the offensive line at times. And Bo Nix was under a lot of pressure. So while Bo Nix knows what an environment like Penn State is like, given the games he's played, both in the SEC, you know, played against Oregon in that season opener, I think it was in Dallas or Texas. I'm not a believer in all is fixed. And I think Penn State's defense is going to trouble Auburn's offense. Now, I think Auburn's offense is improved, and I think they are going to shoot themselves in the foot less. And on the flip side, Sean Clifford in a big game against a strong defensive coordinator, strong pieces on defense, especially in the middle, that worries me. Mm. We score. How many touchdowns did he lead this team to in the first half against Wisconsin? Scoring drives, it was zero.
Yeah.
0 points in the first half against Wisconsin. So I don't think Auburn's defense is on that level of Wisconsin's defense, but I think they're fine. And so that concerns me with Penn State and covering this game. I'm going to give those points. I'm going to give those points because I think there are more pieces that I trust on both sides of the ball right now with Penn State. And as you mentioned, they're more battle tested. So the Penn State coaching staff knows what they do and don't have with their personnel. Whereas Auburn's, I think they need this game to find out. I have Penn State winning this game 31-23. The environment is going to be very difficult. You've been to a whiteout game. I've been to a whiteout game.
Yeah.
You can beat Penn State during one of these whiteout games. It's tough.
It's hard.
Absolutely, it's hard. Tough.
Yeah.
And I'm not there just in terms of how seasoned this current Auburn program is under this coaching staff. So I'm going to give those points and say Penn State wins by, what do I have? 8 points? Is that what my math is? 31-23. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's really easy to call out that Penn State's going to try using its running game to set up some of the underneath stuff and then hopefully pop one over the top to Jahan Dotson. Sure.
Yeah.
Right. I think we know that part. Auburn was good at stopping big plays last year. And my expectation is, as you said, talented defense, good defensive coordinator.
Lost some big pieces to the transfer portal,
for sure. But they're going to be on the lookout for that too. They kind of know what the deal is going to be here. The danger zone, I think, for Auburn is actually in the intermediate passing game.
Okay.
And that's part of the reason why they couldn't get off the field on third downs last year. And it is something that, if you're an Auburn fan, the trouble on third downs last year was something of kryptonite.
Yeah. Different staff, different coordinator, totally different. We all remember Kevin Steele and those defenses and then his just bomb defense at Tennessee for 4 weeks in the offseason. Yeah. I mean, you got to give Auburn some sort of benefit of the doubt that there are new looks that they have. I mean, Auburn probably hasn't shown anything that they're going to show to Penn State against these two.
No, and that's why it makes this really hard to judge. Right. We don't know if there have been those improvements yet, but that was one of the Achilles heels for Auburn's defense last year. And they also gave up a number of air yards per pass. You know, my favorite stat, 7.7 air yards per stat, which was 109th in the nation.
Yeah. I am worried about the Auburn secondary a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. What that tells me is that there were guys open a reasonable distance down the field. I think where I'm going with this is if Sean Clifford can be counted on to complete passes in the 10 to 15 yard range. I think they'll be open in this
game. Can he be? Can he be, though?
We will find out.
You've watched a lot of Penn State
football. We will find out.
Okay.
I'm not convinced, but I think he can get enough of those to propel Penn State to victory here. I think it's close for most of the way. I think it swings on a turnover or two, maybe by Bo Nix. I think Penn State pulls way late. You said 31-23. I got 28-20.
Okay.
So we agree on the differential.
Yep. Yep. By the way, sweet berries apparently in Gainesville for hot dogs for that home dog.
Oh,
sweet berries. Yeah.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Let's go to 9 p.m. FS1, Oklahoma State at Boise. Boise is a 4.5-point favorite. This has come down a bit. Pokes are 2-0. They haven't looked all that impressive so far. Boise is 1-1. They blew a 17-point lead in week one against UCF. And they pounded UTEP last week. I am not enamored with either team here, but I think that is especially the case for Oklahoma State. Granted, we got some new faces on offense. We've had some injury issues here in the early going. Boise's looks fine so far under Andy Avalos, Tim Plowett, offensive coordinator. But again,
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. And I want to have them answered immediately.
It's really just one question. What are the odds that Oklahoma State's offense is just pure unadulterated garbage?
That's a strong term.
What are the chances?
I think there are just issues. I think it is a deeply flawed offense in a way that is foreign to where Oklahoma State was before, I don't know, a year or two ago, I guess 2 years ago. They haven't scored 30 points this year. They've played two teams where I know Tulsa's decent, but they lost a lot from last year. They should be scoring 30 points in early September. And Spencer Sanders beat up. I get all of that. Still, if we're talking about one of the better Big 12 teams, they should be scoring 30 points. They have not. I'm going to roll with Boise for that reason.
No.
That I think Boise's offense eventually should be able to score against a very good Oklahoma State defense. I just don't think the Poke offense is going to do their own defense any favors. They're going to leave the field too quickly. The hallmark of Andy Avalos' defenses, both at Boise and Oregon, has been confusion and movement, all sorts of different looks that really tend to screw with quarterbacks' heads. Spencer Sanders' track record of turnovers, I'm just not there. I have 28-20 Broncos.
I took this one to our Verballer Discord.
Please.
Because I went back and forth. Verballers.com, for those of you interested in our Patreon. First off, Oklahoma State teams traveling east to west, I hope I'm reading this correctly, okay, have not done historically well when it's an 8 p.m. start time. I have not done any of the research on that fact, but it sounds convincing.
Right.
So I'm going to roll with it. Secondly, did you know Boise is 2,000 feet higher in elevation as compared to Stillwater?
Oh, you got
an elevation
back to the
situation.
Yeah. Putting the mountain in Mountain West. Yeah.
I'm going to go Boise minus the number here, minus whatever, to win the game.
Late kick, blue field, beat up quarterback. I think I'm with you. I am.
Air is thinner up there, Dan. Keep that in mind.
What is the total elevation in Boise, though? It's not super high.
Well, I know it's 2,000 feet higher.
Yeah, 2,700 feet. So it's not a mile high situation. 2,730 is what Google is spitting back.
And finally, for our headliners here, before we go to some quick hits, we've got 10-15 game. This is an interesting game late.
I'm excited for this one. I mean, I will watch this Sunday morning. Let's be clear.
BYU's got a little bit of a Forrest Gump thing going on where they just sort of show up on schedules in meaningful spots throughout the course of this season.
Yeah.
Just appear. You see the grainy footage years later. BYU's there again. How'd that happen? Took down Utah a week ago. They are 2-0. They are 23rd in the polls. This week, they are playing host to Arizona State. Arizona State is 19th in the polls. They knocked off Southern Utah. They knocked off UNLV. Really, who cares? This is the one that matters.
Right.
I feel like it is public record at this point that I am all in on Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
This is very quietly a much more interesting game than I expected a few weeks ago. That gives me cause for pause or favorite pet charity on the show.
Can I ask you about elevation, though?
You can ask me about elevation.
Are we pulling this train into the elevation station?
What's the elevation situation?
The absolute worst game of Jaden Daniels' career was in Salt Lake City. He went like 4 of 18 for 90 yards.
Ooh. So there's an potential
elevation. That was 2 years ago.
Elevation degradation.
Yeah, there's an elevation situation. Yeah.
Hmm. I think this is the game that Arizona State needs to win if they are going to signal to the rest of the Pac-12, to the rest of college football, that they're actually serious about this thing. And it's not going to be a redux of 2015 where everyone's high on them because they look good on paper and they stink. They need to have this one. They know they need to have this one. BYU is formidable. How formidable is debatable on this show.
Right.
But they're good. They beat Utah. They must be at least halfway decent.
No, they're strong up front. They're good.
I wonder if there is a little bit of a hangover effect from the Holy War.
Totally fair.
The spread is 3.5. I am locking up ASU on the road.
Lock of the week.
You got to put your money where your mouth is, Dan. I quit my job to do this full time. All right. Gas, no brakes, all throttle, no bottle, whatever we're going with now.
Mm-hmm.
Give me ASU minus the number as my first of a few locks this week.
From a pure football perspective, I think I really, really like ASU. I think they're in a better position, especially given the emotional win yet last week against Utah for BYU and ASU not showing a lot against their first two opponents. I like ASU here. I do. But in my bones, Tom, you're giving me a home dog at elevation?
Yeah, yeah.
Again, I've talked about my belief system.
Are they your home dog of the week?
I think they're my J-Dog's home dog of the week, yeah.
The Yakko's home dog of the week.
There's a little bit of slop to me. And now Jaden Daniels has been largely very good on the road. I mentioned the elevation game against Utah a couple years ago. Whatever, it's irrelevant. There's a bit of slop to me sometimes about Arizona State. We haven't seen this year's iteration against a good team. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But situationally, I'm going to lean back on that belief system. I believe Arizona State has the ability to be a clearly better team than BYU. There is more to me to like about ASU, but I'm going to lean, if I'm betting money, if I'm picking against the spread, I'm going to lean on the J-Dog value pick here and go with BYU at home.
Is J-Dogs a real place in Provo?
It is. It is. Absolutely. Can I tell you about J-Dogs?
I would love to hear more about J-Dogs.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor.
Can be a sponsor.
Could be.
Of the Solid Verbal. It's very specific because I think you have to live in Provo to eat at J-Dogs. If you live in Orem or Midvale, you're good. It looks like a really well-charred hot dog.
Okay.
They've
I like a
Polish
good char
dogs.
On a hot dog.
I do too.
Yeah.
And I don't know why people opt for the steam for, I don't know. You can get all sorts of different dog options, different locations. They're not giving me much info on their website, but it's a good name. Times are tough, but you can still eat like a king, says J-Dogs. Mm. Come visit us at one of our locations for pickup or take home a DIY hot dog kit, Ty.
Okay. It's no Yakko's, but J-Dog knows how to do a dog.
I'm looking at pictures right now. I'm seeing jalapeno options and kraut and pickles and mustard. Yes. Okay. Great looking char on this dog.
Let's go to some quick hits then. Rapid fire.
Yeah.
Let's go back in time if we could, Dan. Friday night, 7:30 ESPN, UCF minus a touchdown on the road at Louisville, Dan.
Louisville. Yeah.
I am very disappointed by Louisville.
It was week one, Louisville. It was week one.
Yeah. I was disappointed by Louisville in that Ole Miss game. I spent a year defending the fact that, no, this is a good team. Trust me, it's a good team. Then they shoot themselves in the foot. It's a good team. Trust me. They got Malik Cunningham. They're solid. They're shoot themselves in the foot again. They didn't make quite that level of mistakes in week one, but they got shelled by Ole Miss. That game was never close. So part of me feels like a bit of a scorned Louisville lover. Give me UCF minus the number.
Again, this is a belief system game for me, Ty. It's a home dog at night on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't make the case for Louisville right now.
Yeah,
with how sloppy they've looked early on. I can't make the case. So I'm going to give those points. I hate that I'm doing it. I absolutely hate that I'm doing it. If I had seen more life and consistency from this Cardinal team, I'd be all in. And look, if Louisville loses respectably to Ole Miss in week one, where they just don't look flat and they score in the first half, blah, 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 and they're a 3-point dog or something in this game, jumping all over Louisville. But there's just that element of the bottom falling out with Louisville football can't shake.
That's the thing. You talk about situational awareness here.
Yeah.
And sometimes the situation where there's a look ahead or a letdown or a trap or what have you, other times it's bigger picture, it's broader.
Yeah.
And I worry a little bit about that. I also didn't realize that Scott Satterfield looks like he could be a claims adjuster. Did not give me that coach vibe when I saw the images of him standing on the sidelines of week one. Just saying. Maybe it's a me thing.
Do you think that Scott Satterfield and Eli Drinkwitz, who are connected because Eli replaced Scott Satterfield at App State, do you think that they ever sit in a room and just pour over numbers? Pour over a spreadsheet?
Yeah.
I hope so. By the way, home dog, if you're going to this game, Red Hot Gourmet Hot Dogs.
Yeah.
In Louisville, Kentucky. Very well reviewed. Looks like a very well charred dog as well. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for options. And here we go. Red top. Oh, a great looking bun. Looks like almost a home baked bun. I don't know if it is, but there's, oh man, you can get a YU skinless beef hot dog here, Ty.
Whatever that is.
If you're a veggie or vegan, you want a vegan kielbasa. I don't know what that means, but you can get it.
Nice.
Cheddar beer cheese. Oh my God. I would love to go here.
12 p.m. FS1, Virginia Tech on the road at West Virginia. West Virginia favored by 3.
Yeah.
I'm going to go West Virginia. Even though Braxton Burmeister looked much better to his credit than I expected in the game they won week one against North Carolina. Tough spot to go on the road, even though it's actually not that far away from Blacksburg.
Right.
Braxton Burmeister on the road leaves me with a bit of a anxious taste in my mouth. So let's go West Virginia minus the number.
So both of these teams to me are kind of taken teams. They have a very specific way of winning, a very specific set of skills needed in order to win. And it, for both of them, it feels like we got to win 20-17. That's sort of like our sweet spot. Braxton Burmeister, not terrific downfield, but Jarrett Dagey, sloppy and not terrific himself. So I'm not a huge fan of where either of these teams are in terms of scoring 35. So at home, in the first big real home game in Morgantown of the season, I'm going West Virginia here to limit Virginia Tech enough. It's sort of a letdown, I guess, sort of delayed letdown after Virginia Tech beat North Carolina. I'm just making up terms right now.
Yeah, no, that's good. Just keep
delayed
going.
Letdown. West Virginia, I think, is able to win this game because, I mean, what we're being told is that it's sort of an even matchup, right? That a 3-point spread.
Yeah, and I mean, look, go back to week one. West Virginia probably should have beaten Maryland. West Virginia shot themselves in the foot a couple times in that game.
Well, that's the thing. The West Virginia, the way you beat West Virginia is really testing them downfield. as Maryland succeeded in doing. We saw what Rakeem Jarrett and what Dante Dimas did. I'm just not there with the Virginia Tech offense. I just don't think they have what it takes to take advantage. So, yeah, I'm going to take the home team here in an excited crowd with a decent enough defense, and I'm happy to do so.
12 p.m. on Fox, Nebraska at Oklahoma. Oklahoma favored by 22.5. I wanted to give Nebraska benefit of the doubt. I don't have the one good reason. You have a one good reason to go Nebraska plus the points, or are you siding with me and going Oklahoma minus whatever?
Oh, I absolutely do. I'm still a believer in Nebraska. Not as a great team. I'm a believer in Nebraska in going to Champaign, looking like trash, week one, not good, terrible situation. But I'm also a believer in a team that I think Buffalo is decent enough, and that defense really took it to them.
It did.
So
it did.
I think Nebraska's ceiling is still as a feisty spoiler type team. And Oklahoma has not been great as a home favorite in terms of covering under Lincoln Riley. I think they're kind of a toss-up team in that regard. I think I saw 10-10, but I'll go back and confirm before the show is over since 2018. I'm going to take Nebraska's defense to cover a 3-touchdown spread, especially with how Oklahoma's offense has looked a little bit iffy. Now, it's granted, it's one team. They played Western Carolina last week, whatever. It was like a pay-per-view game for Oklahoma's one pay-per-view game of the year. But that Tulane game worries me a little bit. That Nebraska's ceiling is still, we can lose this game 35-21.
What's interesting about this game, especially given the narrative around Scott Frost after the Illinois loss in week one, if there is at all any potential for this game to be something like 28-21 going into the fourth quarter, that's going to turn everything on its head.
Sure.
We're going to get calls on the reverb line from both Oklahoma and Nebraska people. It has potential to be interesting, if only because it's kind of a matchup of two previous conference foes. I don't see it. I would love for this game to be close, but I got Oklahoma minus whatever.
Would you agree that, though, there's value here?
Absolutely.
That
absolutely
we could be underestimating Nebraska to whatever extent, for sure.
The overreaction from week one, especially after a traumatic loss.
Right.
Against Illinois. The overreaction can stretch for many weeks.
Lincoln Riley, since 2018, 10-10 as a home favorite. So nothing demonstrable in terms of what he has proven to Vegas.
1 p.m. Pac-12 Network, Minnesota at Colorado. Colorado's a 2-point favorite. I won't go into detail here other than to say it took a couple weeks in the beginning of last season. It's taken a couple weeks in the beginning of this season to, I think, fully scare me off of Minnesota in perpetuity. So I go Colorado. I go whoever against Minnesota because I just don't think I can trust them.
I'm with you. I'm going Buffs here.
We agree.
When in doubt, Ty, elevation.
2:30. Back on NBC, baby. Purdue at Notre Dame. Notre Dame now favored by 7 points, Dan. You have a lean on this game.
I'm taking Purdue. I don't fully know why. It's George, Big George, right? Big George Karloftis, the defensive end, who is absolutely one of the best defensive linemen in the country. Purdue's decent enough up front on defense. I don't love them on offense. But there is part of me that thinks Notre Dame is merely pretty good.
Okay.
And so this number might be a little bit inflated. Now, it could be a net crack situation. Purdue has a lot more questions than Notre Dame does. So this could be artificially low based on the scare that Toledo put into the Irish last week.
The scare. Psh. Come on.
Come on.
Listen.
I have the receipts. Listen, if you want to see what you were texting me late in that game.
We all know what happened last week was just a long con to get Peacock subscriptions.
Of course,
right?
As we all know.
We know that's what it was. Like, is there even any doubt to just get that 15-minute Peacock subscription? You get folks locked in for a month. They forget that signed up for it. And now they're stuck paying whatever per month. That's what went on here. Now that that's in the past, I think Notre Dame destroys Purdue. I think they destroy them. I think they have 300 yards on the ground. Actually, you know what? Let's lock it up.
Whoa.
Lock of the week.
This is not a close game, Dan. And with the Peacock thing now officially out of the way, no more business running football. Notre Dame wins this one going away.
Wow. Okay.
3:30 FS1. Tulsa at Ohio State. Ohio State favored by 27 points. The interesting factoid that may only interest me. Tulsa's got a good defense. They play good defense. They're off that game against Oklahoma State where it was close. They had a chance. This could potentially be the neck crack game for Ohio State, though. And that's what I think gives me the cause for pause or favorite pet charity. So I go Ohio State minus whatever.
Yeah, as do I. We agree. I think Ohio State wins this game by 35 points.
3:30 on Fox. USC minus 8.5. The lines come down on the road at Washington State, Dan. You talk about situational awareness. Clay Helton.
Yeah.
Dunzo. Yeah. You got a defense that looked bad against a relatively bad offense in Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
Pullman, a tough place to play. Is that not pointing everything in the direction of taking the points in Wazoo at home?
I'm not a fan of Wazoo here, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't think they're especially good. Now, yeah, it's situational play, interim head coach and Dante Williams, and the offense has been wildly inconsistent. I still like where the defense is for SC, even though I don't love how many dudes they have on defense. I have to find a reason, though.
Tracy Chapman, give me that one good reason.
I need that one reason.
What's the reason, Dan? Tell me the reason.
Oh, man. I guess it's... Man, I don't know. There's some track record with Wazoo scoring points and God, they lost. Who they lose to week one? Utah State?
Give me the reason, man. What's the reason?
I'm gonna give the points. I think actually the situation is USC is being undervalued here after a bad week against Stanford. I still think they're a pretty good team. I think they win this game by a couple touchdowns.
I'm going Wazoo. Why not? Why not?
Head to the Cougar Cottage, Ty. I don't like corn dogs, but a lot of burgers. I think they have regular hot dogs as well. I think. I'm looking at the menu and I don't
Cougar
see them.
So maybe Cottage. Ooh.
The Cougar Cottage, Ty. Come on.
All right.
It looks delicious.
Cougar Cottage is a new Big 12.
It's true.
Moving on. 3:30 ESPN. Florida State at Wake. Wake favored by 5.5. Okay. You're going to need to maybe hose me down a little bit here.
Oh, God. What happened?
I can see the conventional logic being that Florida State just lost to an FCS school. They are loaded for bear. Mike Norvell came up and said, this team ain't quitting, man. They're embarrassed. They're going to go out. They're going to let her rip against Wake.
Yeah.
But I previewed Wake. And I said at the time, back in July, when we did that show, that Wake was low-key very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So in weeks 1 and 2, they hammered Old Dominion. They hammered Norfolk State.
Norfolk.
Here are their next 6 games, okay? They've mm-hmm. got the Florida State game this weekend. They've got a UVA game next, which will be tough. It's on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a Louisville game, which I think is winnable.
Well, yeah.
They go on the road at Syracuse. I think that's winnable. They go on the road, square off against Army. I also think that's winnable. Then they come back home against Duke. We know that's winnable.
Absolutely.
Is a veteran team that brings back 20 starters from a year ago. Look, Wake Forest, how about wake up? Wake up.
God.
Talk to your kids now. Get in on it early. Talk to them about an 8-0 Wake Forest going into a November to remember in Winston-Salem, Dan Rubenstein. Give me Wake. Give me Wake outright. Give me Wake to cover the number. They win this game. They're going to plod forward into a November that features games against NC State, features, I forget who else.
Yeah, Clemson.
They play.
Yeah, they're on the road against Clemson and North Carolina. They have on the road, they have North Carolina, Clemson, and at Boston College. We didn't mention at the top, Phil Dracovic out for the season, which is, I was going to say shitty, but it's a bummer. Yeah.
I'm in on Wake here. I'm in on Wake for the long haul. Their ties, invest early, talk to your kids early, team.
Yep. Okay, Wake to me is one of those teams where you at least have to be above competent to beat them, and most teams that end up playing Wake are. Florida State either has a net crack performance and lays waste to Wake, or looks similarly inept at times. I think they beat Wake. I think Florida State has woken up.
Wake up, sheeple. I'm telling you.
Man, I don't have good reasons, though. That's my problem. Like, I don't trust Jordan Travis throwing into a decent enough defense. Mackenzie Milton did not look good against Jacksonville State. That's concerning. I think the defense is improved enough, and they shouldn't be defined by, you know, rolling into cover one or whatever they did against Jacksonville State on that last play. So I'm going to take this as a value find, Ty. I'm going to take it as a value find.
Okay.
Florida State wins this game comfortably.
I'll tell you, there's not as much value on this as there was a few days ago because the lines come down. I think more folks are looking at this and saying, wait, Wake Forest? Really? Florida State? Get in, man. Get in. Four more games here very quickly.
Let's do it.
Northwestern -3 on the road at Duke, 4 p.m. Who you got?
Northwestern. Don't love it, but I really don't love Duke.
We agree. 7 p.m. ESPN, South Carolina, a 31-point dog on the road at Georgia. Personally, would stay away from it. We don't know what the deal is with JT Daniels, what the deal is with Stetson Bennett.
Stetson Bennett performed really well.
Stetson Bennett threw 5 touchdowns in the first half last week. He looked good. What I don't particularly love is Zebedee Badiah Nolan going up against the Dogs defense. So Georgia wins. It's just 31 points is a lot. I don't know if I trust them to cover that.
Yeah, Zeb Nolan was not incredible. Made plays, but it was ECU. The South Carolina defense was really strong against ECU. So that, to me, if there's anything there in terms of life, I think that's too many points. I think South Carolina covers it, but loses comfortably. I don't like the game enough to wager it personally.
No,
so
don't wager.
I'm going to take those points reluctantly.
I will take the points as well, because why the hell not? 7 p.m., yeah. 2 more games. 7 p.m., Utah on the road, 7-point favorite at San Diego State.
Give me San Diego State.
Going Aztecs.
Give me the Aztecs. Yeah, give me the Aztecs here. Another home dog with, I think, a feisty defense and scored a little bit last week. I'm not huge on Utah, especially after the struggles of last week and Charlie Brewer and the offensive line had some struggles protecting him.
Chaz Brewer, thank you.
Chaz. Give me, I'm just, it's the season of the home dog for me. So even if San Diego State doesn't win this game, I think they can ugly it up and lose by 3 or 4. So yeah, give me San Diego State.
I'm going to go Utah here. Give me Chaz Brewer, Chaz Redemption coming at you. And finally, last game on our slate, 10:45 Pac-12 Network, Fresno, an 11-point road dog at UCLA. You know, I thought Fresno, Dan, acquitted themselves pretty well, stopping Oregon on the ground. They've played the run pretty well so far. They played 3 games now because they had one of those week 0 matchups. I think I still go UCLA here, but I could see this being a game that's closer than you might expect.
I may take Fresno here. This might be a look ahead game for me. It's a super late kick, right?
What's the look ahead spot? 10:45 kick on Pac-12 Network. Yeah.
Does UCLA have Stanford the following week? I'm almost positive that's what I saw before. I'm confirming right now. They have Stanford the following week.
Ooh.
Who just kind of took it to USC. So that has UCLA's attention.
Let's go Fresno. Let's both do it. Fresno.
I'm going to take Fresno. I think UCLA wins this game. I think they win this game 30-23. But
let's go Fresno. That's a good find.
I think the Dogs cover in this one. And by the way, speaking of dogs, Barrio dog in San Diego, home dog. I'm looking right now, a lot of really good home dog action in San Diego, by the way. Daddy's Hot Dogs, come on.
This is transformed from a show where the home dog pertained to the point spread and the team playing at home, and is now just a very hot dog friendly podcast.
I posted the picture on Twitter the other day.
I saw.
Talking about hot dogs so much, I needed a hot dog. I don't know how often you go to Yakko's or wherever where your chosen dog in the neighborhood is.
Never, almost never. I might have to go today now. I might have to do it.
What is on your ideal dog? And obviously there are, you know, there's sort of like a standard and like if you're going premium.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the standard would just be a Yakko dog with the sauce, secret sauce, which is one of a kind still, always and forever.
Is it sweet? Is it spicy?
It's kind of like a chili.
Okay.
That you put on top.
Thinner chili.
Yeah, thinner chili. I like some raw onions on the dog.
Sure.
There's no need for ketchup, really, mustard, anything once you got that Yakko sauce.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go deluxe, I put a lot more on it. But to be honest, the secret sauce, it is truly one of a kind.
But if you are going to somebody's backyard, if they're grilling.
Backyard, we go ketchup, we go mustard, we go onions. They've got it.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much cheese. I'll throw some cheese on there. Why not?
Interesting. Cheese dog. Yeah, I'll go. If people are dicing up pickles, I'm not a big relish person, but I'll do mustard, onions, pickles.
I can do pickles.
They'll do a spear here in the Chicagoland area. If I'm going premium and there's a good chili available, I'll go chili, cheese, mustard, onion. I will do the cheese underneath the dog.
Gotta go under.
And so it gets,
I feel like you gotta
gets
go
nice
under.
And melty.
Yeah.
I'll go mustard on top of the dog, then cover with the chili and then onions atop the chili.
Mm, I like that.
That's my more premium dog. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Tommy's in LA. Yeah.
Well, look, this has been a fun week, Dan.
I have a request, Ty. Quickly request, Ty, if you could drop some big, stanky, piercing, pinching, prickling drum and fife.
Patriot League action, Dan.
It's the Patriot League Ivy League weekend. Yeah.
It's a weekend. You plan for it. Plan your entire fall schedule around it. This is why people say don't do fall weddings, because we've got Patriot League. We've got Ivy League in week 3. High noon on ESPN Plus. Holy Cross 1-1 on the road at the Yalers. Yale has yet to play a game. 0-0. Who you got?
Give me the Crusaders here. Taking down an FBS team early? Come on, Yale doesn't know what they have in their own personnel.
Let's go Crusaders. Crusaders has FBS winning experience this year, Dan. They took down Randy Etzel in the Dynasty at UConn.
Yeah, yeah.
Also at high noon, Princeton. Nary a game to their record here, 0-0.
Mm-hmm.
On the road at Lehigh, just a stone's throw away from Solid Verbal East headquarters. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm taking Princeton here. if I were to align myself with Loserville, USA, which I guess is what everybody's calling the Greater Lehigh Valley, I'm gonna go Tigers. It's
that
not
hurts
even a question
me.
For
that
me.
That hurts me. Yeah. But I'm gonna go two princes. We'll go Princeton as well. Lehigh does not look good so far this year. New Hampshire 2-0 on the road at Lafayette.
Oh yeah, that's rough. Yeti's yet to win.
Yeah. Going in the Shire here, Dan. Give me the Shire.
Yeah, I'm going Hammies here. Give me the Hammies.
12:30. ESPN Plus. Harvard 0-0 on the road at Multisport Field. Whenever you go to the MSF. Georgetown 1-0. The first game at Multisport Field, first game of the year, was actually postponed.
Right.
I think because of COVID, but we can say for our purposes here because the other team was scared. I don't know. What do you got?
I've seen a lot of conversation about how many points Vegas gives to Multisport Field.
Yeah.
That normally it's a 3-point home field advantage. It's 7-8 points at MSF. Give me Georgetown here. Give me Georgetown here walking away.
I can't contain it. No, yeah. We got to go Hoyas here. Hoyas are winning
Come on.
The Pat League this year, aren't they?
Yeah, easily.
If they win the Pat League, we're going down. We're watching a game in Multisport Field. I will drive.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to.
Wait, so if Georgetown wins the Pat League, they're going to the playoffs.
They're going to the playoffs, yeah.
Oh, man. Amazing.
I will drive down to watch a game. We will bring the whole Verbal Herd. We have a huge contingent in the D.C. area.
Do you know what?
Coming out.
If we go to Georgetown because they are in the playoffs, I mean, I don't know if they would play their opening round game in D.C., but we have to do a meetup at what's it called? The famous hot dog place.
The hot dog place, yeah. No, this is taking shape nicely.
I can't believe I'm blanking on it. It's, oh my God, this is going to bother me so much.
You find it and you yell it out whenever you come up with it. We got to move
on. I know it's a half smoke. I know that's what they call it. That's like our Ben's Chili Bowl. Boom.
Ben's Chili Bowl.
There
Thank
it is.
You.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
1 p.m. ESPN Plus. We got Bill and Mary at 1-1 on the road at Colgate 0-2. Ooh.
Going Bill and Mary here. Nah, two of them are doing it up big. Yeah.
Go Gators.
Okay.
And then 6 p.m., let me take this music down here. Go more hushed, revered tone for these nightcaps.
Please, please, please.
Yeah, this one on ESPN3, which is apparently still a thing.
ESPN3 is free stream only. ESPN Plus, you have to be a subscriber to. Yeah.
Wow. So they're doing Fordham dirty like that, putting them on the free stream. The others are premium. Fordham's got something to prove then.
Well, there's just such an appetite for Ram football that they feel bad. They want the public to be in on Ram football.
Yeah, Fordham at
0-2. Especially after that guy Greenhagen had 30 tackles against Nebraska.
0-2 Fordham on the road at FAU, the Owls 1-1. Who you got?
Oh, you know I'm going Fordham here. New York's one true team against Willie Taggart. Come on.
Is it against Willie Taggart? Oh, there's some bad blood there, isn't there?
Always, of course. I mean, am I happy that he made the decision to leave Oregon? In retrospect,
yeah, you're good.
Certainly. I'm fine. I'm good.
I'll go FAU. Have to go FAU. And finally, 6 p.m. ESPN Plus, the premium stream. Penn 0-0 on the road at the Nellies, 0-2.
I'm going Nellies here. This is the neck crack game.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I go Penn.
It's you know Lewisburg?
Yeah.
Is that where Bucknell is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going... Riots on the streets after taking down Penn.
The thing about Bucknell, it's just sort of there. It's on a hill. It's on a big hill. All the buildings are beautiful. It's a beautiful campus.
Sure.
But it's just sort of a campus on a hill. So riots on the streets, like you'd probably have to Uber to get to the town to then have the riots on the streets.
Do you have friends that went to Bucknell?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to call them friends. I do. You know, I take a very hard line against Nellie's in my personal life.
That's right. You had some sort of bad blood with Bucknell.
There was.
You visited the campus and it didn't do it for you.
Many fisticuffs. It's just too much to get into here on.
That's fine.
On the non-Patreon stream.
Yeah. Fisticuffs. Get out of here.
All right. Well, fun show. Week 3 coming at you. Don't forget, we've got a podcast that we're going to do on Friday where we talk through all the news of the college football week. Get you.
By the way, I don't think
prepped.
I had a lock, did I? I had a home dog, but I didn't have a lock.
Oh, who's your lock?
Oh, take me home, Country Roads. West Virginia, lock it up.
Lock of the week.
Now we're ready to roll here.
Now we're ready. Then. Yeah.
Verballers.com is the Patreon. Go and check it out. You can listen to this show and also get access to many other perks. We also like to remind you on all of our preview shows that if you're out and about, maybe your window of opportunity isn't so much a window, but more a day. Check out our friends over on the College Football Blitz.
Yeah.
College Football Blitz, the Red Zone channel for college football, starts noon Eastern every Saturday over on ESPNU Radio, SiriusXM channel 84, I believe. Also the Varsity Network app, which is really cool. That's how I listened to it last week. It is a live whip around of all of the games in the top 25. You can hear the scores as they happen, as called by each school's hometown radio crew. They only take 3 commercial breaks per hour, which means 56 minutes of live play-by-play. And if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Stephen Hartzell is the host of this broadcast. He is the Gandalf, Dan. Of college football whip around coverage. I don't know how he does it. I don't know if there's an army in a production truck somewhere that is just sort of feeding him things, zipping him on like a clothesline to get him to him, to tell him what to read or what coverage to kick it to. But the man is truly a wizard in all the right ways when it comes to college football coverage on a Saturday.
Soothing Stephen Hartzell, cradling you from game broadcast to game broadcast.
If you're going to go soothing Stephen, you got to go soothing Stevie.
So our Speedy Steve Hartzell, speeding you around the universe?
Speedy okay. Steve is good. I do. Thank you. I do like that.
All right. Agree.
For that guy over there, my good friend, Dan Rubenstein, from myself, Ty Hildenbrandt, thank you so much for downloading, for listening, for supporting the show. We will be back to you on Friday. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.